Dear listeners of Radio Maria Canada, welcome to our program, The Power of the Rosary, from Toronto and hosted by Reno. It's a program where we share the good news of praying the Holy Rosary when we invite Mary, our Heavenly Mother, and recite her favorite prayer. She promises her protection, guidance, and solutions to the problems that plague our lives. Let's pay attention to the joyful news of help and comfort. Welcome.
Ave Regina della pace, Ave Madre dell'amor. Ave Regina della pace, Ave Madre dell'amor. Ave.
Good day, and welcome to all our dear Radio Maria listeners. Today we continue with the theme on the power of the Holy Rosary. In the last episode, we introduced the efficacy of this prayer, which is so desired by Our Lady and is associated with countless graces for those who pray it devoutly. We recall that the Rosary is the prayer given by Our Lady to Saint Dominic Guzman in 1214, in response to how to defeat the Albigensian heresy, which was spread out throughout France. The Albigensians were a very influential heretical sect that taught that all matter is evil, and that man, although created by God, was essentially thrust into a material body by an evil being. They also believed that adultery, fornication, and suicide were praiseworthy. And in addition, there was no heaven, no hell, and no moral code. Our Lady told St. Dominic, "Know that the strongest weapon is the Rosary, the foundation of the New Testament. And for this reason, if you want to win those hardened hearts to God, preach my Rosary." So St. Dominic preached this prayer for the conversion and to change the way of life of the Albigensians, and was extremely successful, and shortly thereafter, they were all defeated.
When we recite the Holy Rosary with proper disposition and meditate on the mysteries of the life of the Savior and of Mary, we honor the Blessed Trinity and give thanks for the great privileges granted to the Virgin, which are power, wisdom, and love. This is where the power and the strength of the Holy Rosary comes from. In addition, Sister Lucia dos Santos, one of three seers of Fatima, and who recently died on February 16, 2005, in one of her heavenly encounters, relates the words of Our Lady in which she calls the Rosary the weapon of our times. Our Lady said, "The Father has given in these last times in which we live a new efficacy to the recitation of the Holy Rosary, and that there is no problem, however difficult, of a material or especially spiritual nature that cannot be solved by this prayer. There is no problem, I tell you, however difficult or personal, of family, national, international problem that cannot be solved with the Rosary." These are the words of Our Lady, so there is no doubt in the message. Let us keep this message to heart, eagerly make use of it.
Our Lady of Medjugorje, who has been appearing on a daily basis since 1981, also gave a similar message to Maria, one of the visionaries, on June 12, 1986, in which she says, "Dear children, today I invite you to begin to say the rosary with living faith, so I can help you. You, dear children, wish to receive graces, but do not pray. I cannot help you since you do not wish to move. Dear children, I invite you to pray the rosary. May the rosary be a commitment for you to carry out with joy, so you will understand why I have been with you for so long. I wish to teach you to pray. Thank you for having responded to my call."
See how Our Lady guides us and teaches us on how we must behave to have our prayers answered. If Our Lady invites us in these uncertain times to pray the rosary to help us, it is necessary and appropriate to do so. Let us not delay in answering her quest. In addition, many popes have also written countless documents on the Holy Rosary and its power, starting with Pope Urban IV in 1261 to 1264, up to more recently St. John Paul II. Many other popes as well, despite not having written documents, have always exalted and recommended this prayer by calling it Gospel in Summary, or Psalter of the People, Sweet Chain that Links Us Back to God, Family Prayer and for the Family, and School of Contemplation and Meditation. We repeat again that in many apparitions, Our Lady herself has indicated that the Rosary is her favorite prayer and is necessary for our good and the good of humanity. In fact, in the apparition in Lourdes in 1858, the Virgin had a long rosary hanging on her arm and prayed the rosary with Bernadette. And again in 1917 at Fatima, as in more recent years at Medjugorje, Our Lady continues to invite and exhort the faithful to pray the rosary every day.
In continuing with our theme on the power of the Holy Rosary, we wish to ask three questions followed with answers. The first question being, why is it necessary to recite the Holy Rosary? The second question is, many find it very difficult to recite repetitive prayers, and many times they do not even understand the meaning of this. So what is the point? And then the third question asks, many do not believe in the efficacy of any prayer, as well as the rosary. And especially since many times we do not even know what to ask of God. And since God loves us so much and knows best what is good, he does not let himself be influenced from our requests. So why is it necessary to recite the Holy Rosary? The Rosary, while acknowledging that it is a repetitive prayer, is recommended by Our Lady herself in many of her apparitions and is also recommended by the Church. In fact, in history, there is no saint who did not recite the rosary. And many times, they often recited two or three rosaries a day, even when walking or doing manual work, whereas one thoughts and heart remain free. And then, we repeat again that the rosary is the most beautiful, most effective, and most appropriate prayer in our times. And therefore, we must be devoted to this prayer, which is so desired and recommended by Our Lady. This prayer always showers us with countless graces. We have been told by Our Lady that the rosary is the spiritual weapon of our time and that it produces extraordinary wonders in our life. It may be the prayer most able to help us on our earthly journey, not only to solve our painful problems that plague each of us, but also as an aid to reach our final home destination, which is heaven.
The second question was, many find it very difficult to recite repetitive prayers and many times they do not even know their meaning. So why repeat the same prayers over and over? Why? Like all other prayers, the Rosary is a prayer that leads us to love God, to speak with God, to put ourselves in communication with God, with Jesus, and with Our Lady. If one puts one's thoughts in contact with God and then says the rosary, its repetition favors the loving exchange of affections and of thoughts, of requests for forgiveness and inspirations of the Holy Spirit. And then, on a human level, think how many times a child calls his mother during the day and at night. Does the child perhaps get tired of repeating the same invocation over and over? Or does a mom get tired of hearing her baby need her? No, on the contrary. Love, the need to feel loved and protected, pushes the child repeatedly to call mother. And with Our Lady, we must also behave as children who always have the need of our Heavenly Mother, who also is the Mother of Jesus.
The third question was, many times we do not even know what to ask God. And since God loves us so much and knows better what our good is, He certainly does not allow Himself to be influenced by our requests. We must keep in mind that it is not God who needs us in our prayer. On the contrary, it is we who need Him. The most beautiful prayer is to say to God, "Your will be done." It is clear that He does it anyway, but it is we who must enter into that logic of doing God's will and not ours. It is not easy to do God's will, and for this reason, it is good to pray a lot with this intention, so that the Lord helps us to always choose the narrow path that leads to heaven, and that we can follow the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and do God's will. We need to be convinced that God loves us more than we love ourselves, and that He always chooses the ways that are best for our good, and which are much better than we could ever have done, since He knows everything. This is why we need and must put our trust in God.
The frequent and authentic prayer, and we recall that prayer is to love and speak and communicate with God and not repeat formulas thinking about other things, little by little helps us to see our life and the world around us, not with our eyes, our limits, or our human passions, but with the eyes and love of God. This is the path of Christian life, which leads us to be ever more like Jesus, the man God, which is a model to which we must always be inspired by in order to lead a fruitful life. Then by praying, each according to his possibilities, we reach the goal to which we all aspire, which is the serenity of life, the joy of living, the strength to endure diseases, adversities, sufferings, and failures that are inevitable for all. The more we are united with God, with prayer and doing His will, the more we will feel serene, happy, protected, loved, enlightened, comforted, and we will be assured that God loves us and is always with us.
Yes, prayer is very powerful, but it's also necessary for us. We remember the words of Jesus that should encourage us. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, "Very truly I tell you, My Father will give you whatever you ask in My name. Until now you have not asked for anything in My name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." See, this is a promise made by God Himself, and not as men do, who keep their promises according to how the wind blows. Here you can count on it and put all your trust in these words. And if perhaps He be late in fulfilling a request, according to our thinking, let us then turn to Him and remind Him of His promises. He will not delay. In fact, God loves us so much that He has made Himself adapter to us by His promises. He has done by His own choosing, because He is pleased when we turn to Him and ask for help in our needs. So let us just do that, because He wants it and expects us to do so. We will now take a short break, and then we will resume with our theme on the power of the Holy Rosary.
When I find myself in times of trouble,
Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer, let it be.
Welcome back. We will now hear some stories that lead us to learn more about the power of the Rosary and its power to protect and help us solve the problems we encounter in our lives. While we tell the story of a testimony of a mother who so longed for a second child, we invite our listeners to prepare a testimony on the power of the Rosary and who want to share it with other listeners, mail it either by regular mail or electronic mail to Radio Maria Canada here in Toronto. Please include Power of the Rosary as part of the address, and we will read them in one of our next episodes. We remind you that the reason in sharing these personal stories is to increase our faith as to pray the Rosary more frequently and even daily. The first story is of a mother who, in the impossibility of having a second child, recommended her desires and pains to Our Lady of the Rosary. Here's the story.
The mother tells us, "I desperately longed for a second child, but there was no way I could get it. I was an only child and missed the company of a sister or brother, and I certainly didn't want my daughter to be an only child as well. So I thought of going to Pompeii, near Naples, to seek help from Our Lady of the Rosary. It was exactly the 8th of May, which happens to be the day on which the famous prayer, Supplication to the Queen of the Holy Rosary, is recited and celebrated. This prayer was first written and instituted by Blessed Bartolo Longo in 1883. Blessed Bartolo was called the Apostle of the Rosary by Pope John Paul II on October 26, 1980, during his beatification. Nonetheless, although very apprehensive, I was strangely resigned and entrusted all my hopes and fears to Our Lady of the Rosary, begging her to intercede and grant me the grace that I so ardently longed for.
As I returned to my hometown in Italy, I felt a strange but intimate, joyful feeling in my heart. And this hope, and with great joy, was realized, and exactly after 9 months of my visit to Pompeii, my second daughter was born. All this happened thanks to the intercession of Our Lady of the Rosary, of which I have always been devoted ever since I was a young girl. I had placed and continue to place all my faith and trust in Our Lady. In fact, every year since then, I have always returned to Pompeii in thanksgiving. Thank you, dear Lady, for being so attentive and generous with our requests. We too, as we read the story, thank Our Lady and her Rosary for the many graces that she always grants to us when we turn to her for help while praying devoutly her favorite prayer, which is her Rosary.
Let us read in Tobit the advice of the Archangel Raphael, as he called the two men, Tobit and Tobias, aside and said to them, "Praise God and tell everyone about the good things he has done for you, so they too will honor him and sing his praises. Let everyone know what God has done. Never stop praising him. It's a good idea to keep a king's secret, but what God does should be told everywhere, so that he may be praised and honored." So we remind and invite our listeners to write their story on the power of the Rosary that they have encountered in their life and share them with other listeners. Mail this testimony to us, either electronically or by regular mail to Radio Maria Canada, and add the power of the Rosary as part of the address. And we will read them in an upcoming episode.
The second story is told by the religious sister Mary Sheila O'Neill from the United States. It's a remarkable story of World War II, 1940, and a squadron of the Air Force that discovers the power of the Rosary. This story was first reported by the Garibaldo magazine in October of 1979. Sister Mary O'Neill tells the story and says, "It was a busy day in March, and as a teacher director of a school in 1950s, I had to make sure that every day there was time to fulfill these two roles of my job, that as of a teacher and as a school manager. These two activities were often not easy to do. It was March 4th, 1956, and a worrying incident between a teacher and a parent in the school had kept me out of my class for almost an hour that morning. Remaining at work that day, I desperately tried to make up for lost time. So when I heard a knock at my door at 2 p.m., it was not welcome news.
With relief, I found out that he was just a clerk on delivery and just needed my signature. But as he pulled out the pen out of his bag, his rosary got caught in the clipboard and it popped out. While signing, I said to him indifferently, 'Oh, so you are Catholic?' 'Oh, no,' he replied. 'But many of us owe our lives to Our Lady. And I promised her that I would always keep my rosary with me and pray it every day.' Fascinated by this story, after 20 minutes, I was still at the door listening to him. It was one of the most wonderful experiences a group of military airmen had experienced with Our Lady." My visitor hesitated beginning the story because he noticed that I had not been very welcoming in opening the door. But now, being eager to hear the story, I assured him that I had the time and my class was doing an exercise. So I asked him, "Please, continue with the story."
He went on to say that In May of 1940, I entered the military as a private. Later, at the end of that September, I joined the Combat Air Force. The military moved us to Halifax, Nova Scotia, to begin an intensive training course because they needed us to go abroad, that is, to Europe, to fight in the war. We were all young guys and found all this very exciting. They grouped us into squadrons of 30 to 40 men, with each group consisting of 6 to 10 airplanes. Each squadron was trained to function and maneuver as a unit, where the squadron leader gave all the orders and kept the group functioning by keeping the spirits high. This went on for the rest of the year. Next May, it was announced that our squadron was going abroad, to England, and that we would engage in nightly missions on enemy territory, that is, in Germany, until the end of the war.
We were now assigned a new squadron leader, but as yet, he had not arrived, and we were eagerly waiting for him. He should arrive in a few days by plane, and being an officer, we thought that when our new leader once arrived, we'll go straight to the officers' quarters and not where we were lodging as ordinary soldiers. We glanced at a distance and saw the plane arrive with the new leader, but we were resigned to wait until the following day to get to know him and screen him. However, a couple of hours later, the squadron leader named Stan Fulton, in full uniform, walked into our quarters and said, "Well, men, we will spend some dangerous hours together, but I hope that we will all meet here when it is all over. Is there a bed? I'm tired. Tomorrow I will meet with each of you." With that said, he threw the bag on an upper bunk bed and rested. We didn't foresee a squadron leader and officer sleeping with us ordinary soldiers. We liked our leader immediately, and our pleasure and admiration grew daily.
That first night, Stan Fulton knelt on the floor and prayed his rosary in silence alone. Amazed, we were struck and stupefied. When he finished the rosary, he looked at us with his friendly smile and said, "I hope you don't mind a man who recites some prayers, because where we're going, we will need many prayers." The next day, after our maneuvering exercise and under his command, we were certain that Fulton was not only our military leader, but also our friend. He was one of us, and he never tried to intimidate us with his rank. That night again, he repeated his prayer session and said the rosary alone. Although our group had been around for at least 6 months, I had never seen anyone kneel in prayer, and I had no idea that any of us were Catholic. But on the third night, three of our companions joined Fulton in the Holy Rosary. The rest of the men didn't understand, but they kept a respectful silence.
A few nights later, being eager students, we all answered to the Hail Marys and Our Fathers. Fulton seemed pleased and so continued to finish every day in prayer. On June the 1st, 1941, it was announced that we were to leave Halifax to begin a series of nightly raids from England onto Germany. The evening before leaving Halifax, Fulton gave each soldier in the squadron a rosary and said, "We will be in some very difficult situations, so if you agree, let's say the rosary. If you promise to always keep the rosary with you throughout your life and say it, I can promise you that Our Lady will make you all return to Canada healthy and alive." We all replied, "Sure." We did not imagine at that time that we would be at war for the next 4 years, and many times in terrible danger of fire around us. In those moments, Fulton's voice could be heard ringing throughout every plane, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you." We always answered with respect and sincerity. We prayed many rosaries together in those horrifying conditions of war.
After 2 years of war, it was noticed that our squadron was the only one that hadn't lost either a plane nor a single life. Nobody ever said anything, but we all knew why. Finally, that terrible war was over, and during those years we were young, had lost all sense of excitement and adventure that we had experienced in the early days. All we were concerned about was just survival, and we did actually survive. All in our squadron returned to Canada safely in 1945, fully convinced that Our Lady took care of us and kept us safe and sound during that terrible ordeal. So yes, I never forget to keep my rosary with me and recite it every day, even though I'm not Catholic. When I change my pants, the first thing I transfer, even before my wallet, is my rosary.
This is the story told by Sister Mary Sheil O'Neill of the United States, and it highlights the power of the rosary in our life, despite all the frightening situations in which we might find ourselves in. So let us be resolute and convinced that if we are faithful to the rosary, Our Lady will always keep us safe and sound. The time is running short, so we greet and thank all our dear listeners for taking part in this program. I remind you to arrange testimonial stories on the power of the rosary and send them via mail, regular or electronic, to Radio Maria Canada, and we will then share them with our listeners on future broadcasts. Address them with the power of the rosary. We encourage our listeners to pray the Holy Rosary either in groups or alone, reminding of the victory that has been promised to us. It will arrive at a proper time. This is a promise we cannot dispute because it has been promised by our dear mother who loves us very much. We would like to acknowledge the contributors of this episode, which are Michael Journal, Santuario, and Garabandal Magazine, which are found on the internet. The time has ended. Reno and Teresa from Radio Maria Canada wish you a good day. We ask God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, with Mother Mary to bless us and keep us safe now and always. Ciao, ciao.
We thank our dear listeners of Radio Maria Canada for having welcomed us into their homes. Let's make an appointment for next week at the same time when we continue with the power of the rosary. Ciao.